stand together, if you will. I'm happy to be out this evening.
Yes.
Every opportunity we have, saints, it's wonderful. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, again, God, it never gets old. Lord, be able to come and to gather around and then be able to say thank you for that desire you placed in our hearts. Oh, God, it's such a privilege to carry that gene within us, Father. Lord, you entrusted that here, Lord, to lead and to guide us and direct us. Father, to give us that desire to be able to serve you. Without it, Father, it'd be impossible. So we love you, appreciate all you've done for us. Bless us now, each and every one that's gathered together, Lord, or listening over the waves, Lord, we pray that you would bless each and every one of us with, Lord, revelation and a greater and closer walk with you. We thank you now, Lord. Just have your way in the remainder of the service, we ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Turn with me in our Only Believe books, page 318. Sung as well. Life is like a mountain railroad. Glad we have an engineer, saints. Amen. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful.
There you'll meet the superintendent.
in thy praise forevermore.
Amen. So thankful he guides us, saints. Praise his holy name. Page 182. We never grow old. Amen. What promise we've got.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the
Josh, would you take the request? His name. You may be seated. Do you have a song tonight, Karen? Ask you come. Thank you. Let's all stand, please, and sing a little chorus, "Only Believe." Ask our brother to come.
Yes.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
You happy to be out this evening?
Yes.
Amen. Thank the Lord for another opportunity to get together and just pray as we can go in and read His Word and renew our minds to some things that it'll just strengthen us, encourage us, and cause us to draw closer to Christ. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord, we come to a great time, Lord, as we come to fellowship around Your precious Word. And Lord, we've just come asking You that, Lord, we've read these things and heard these things many times, I'm sure. But, Lord, each time we read them or each time we hear them, we're always asking, Lord, that You'll just make them a little more dear.
Yes.
Give us a greater revelation and understanding, Lord, of how to yield ourselves unto You. That, Lord, in everything that we do and say, we would be an example of Jesus Christ in these last few moments of time. And Lord, we just ask Your blessings upon Your word and just praying that You would have Your preeminence in the remainder of this service. And we commit ourselves unto Thee for service. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so precious. Amen. While you're standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and read a verse, and you can be seated. Enjoyed the message this morning and just praying that, you know, as you begin to see the leadership and the Holy Spirit and the prisonership that was speaking on, how you can see all of God's Word tie right into that and become a greater picture in our lives. And it's wonderful to be able to see it, but Lord, let it be to me according to Your Word, Lord, that I would be able to have that same testimony. You know, when you look at Paul, and we're going to read some of the things that he wrote, but realizing he had that revelation and it was revealed to him. And he could had a testimony, he was a prisoner of the Lord, and he could say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Yes.
And to speak that with a revelation in his heart and a great reality, what an assurance he had.
Yes.
And when it was his time to go lay his head on that chopping block, he could say, I have ran, fought a good fight, and I have kept the faith.
Yes.
And all mine, laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. Oh, may we each one truly take and see the greatness of serving Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, let's read these first two verses. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. And if you have a middle reference, or if you're looking in the study Bible, it says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. And if you think about it in that light, we've been sent here to be His representatives.
Yes.
And you know, is thinking in simplicity terms, we used as children, we used to play a little game called Follow the Leader, and how you had to do exactly what the person in front of you was doing. And you know, if you look through the scriptures, you'll see that same verse kind of repeated, be ye followers of me. And Paul told us to be followers of them, following the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
looking for and watching the life that was being manifested. And even Jesus himself, you know, when he speaks things he spoke when he was here showing us, that was our examples. That was our life that we were looking for, and we want to be our lives mirrored in that precious word. But just to renew our minds to a few things, let's turn over to Luke, the 6th chapter. As we think about a Christian life and Christ's life being reproduced today, and look at some of these things as Jesus himself spoke here in Luke 16, or Luke 6, rather, I'm sorry. Just a little. And as we're turning there, I'll read this quote Brother Branham made, very familiar, and we've all heard it many times, but when you think about it in this text, this was in Christ as the mystery of God revealed, and this was paragraph 297, and we've all heard it many, many times, but he says, it's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ is revealed to them. Yes. And if you say he's been revealed to me, then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life is in him, does not produce itself in you, then you've got the wrong revelation. Because if I put the life of a pumpkin into the life of a pear tree, it would bear pumpkins. And by their fruits, you shall know them exactly right. And if at first you put out a tree, a grapevine, and it put out a bunch of grapes, the first shoot it put out brought grapes, the next one brought out lemons, and the next one brought out pears, and the next one brought out apples, there's some kind of a grafted affair in there, and it's bearing its own life. Every denomination will bear life of itself. But if the original vine ever puts out another shoot, it will bear grapes like the first time. And the life of Jesus Christ ever puts forth another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. And they'll write a book of Acts behind it because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living its life through you. And you know, we've read that, we've heard it quoted, but how the reality it ought to be becoming to us as we see these things. And as we look back here as Jesus began to speak, and we may say, oh, these are such simple things. But that same life has to be projected through us in all the Word, in every aspect of our lives, every move we make. We read it a couple services ago, we're to be written epistles, read of all men. And you know, I was listening to a little tape of Brother Branham, I can't remember the name of the message, but he was talking about how our actions speak so much louder than our words, and how we've got to truly bear that in mind, that our actions must declare Jesus Christ. It don't say it matter, as our pastor was even mentioning it this morning, it don't matter how much we say we believe, it don't matter how much I can tell you about this Bible, but it's about how much that author is made alive in me. Amen. And I'm becoming part of these things that have been written. But just want to renew your mind to these things and listen as Jesus speaking here. And we'll start about the 27th verse in Luke, the 6th chapter. And Jesus says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give unto every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also likewise to them. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also even do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And I was just thinking on these things, and it's such simple verses we've heard since we were young children. It's always been told to us, you know, to think, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Have you ever stopped and really thought about that? Maybe when you go to tell somebody something, or go to sell something to somebody, or to do any kind of dealings with anyone. Have you ever stopped and thought, would you want whatever you was trying to get rid of, would you want that same person to get rid of that something to you in the same manner? It comes over to our everyday life. And sometimes we forget just how it becomes. And you know, do we really sit and think about our lives being such an example? That, you know, everybody goes to church, and there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians, and a lot of people dress nice, and they live good. But does every action they have declare that Jesus Christ is living in them and showing forth? And that's just one example as we just look at all that Jesus was saying there. And it's just kind of checking up time with the scriptures. Just think about these things. And as Paul, having that revelation, if you would, let's turn to Romans 12. And Paul began to repeat some of these things as he was writing. And it just, our everyday interactions with people must declare Jesus Christ. And, you know, in the way it all, there's so much happens in our day's time. From the time you rise up, and some of us are going to work, and all kinds of situations, and all kinds of people, and all types of manner happening. Maybe some of you wives, you're at home, maybe you don't have, maybe some of the burdens and things that may shape up and give us an opportunity, but still yet, every time you go out in public, every time you go to the grocery store, every time you're dealing, interacting, a life of Jesus Christ showing forth, you know, and it's so easy. I see people all the time when you're out and about. This has become such an age of money means so much to everyone, and everybody thinks they're perfect, and one person makes a mistake, and there's no grace for anybody. And no understanding of thinking maybe what that person's been through that day or what they're having to deal with. And maybe they shortchange you or just something is wrong. And it just, but we're all, everybody gets so wound up in this last days. The tensions are so tight and everybody's worried about everybody's got bills and everybody's trying to make their dollar go as far as they can. But oh my, how we should be so far above the natural things of this life. And it shouldn't have such bearing on us or such a worry that that's all we can focus our life or attention to. But looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and in every circumstance, looking for what we can do to help someone else. Here in Romans, the 12th chapter, Paul began to speak. And we'll start here about the, let's start about the 9th verse and just catch what he was saying. He said, let love be without dissimulation or pretense. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer and distributing to the necessity of the saints. And given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. But be of the same mind one towards another. And mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceits, but recompense to no man evil for evil. But provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And you know, these things, as I said, we've read these things, we've heard these things, but each and every day we're faced with an opportunity for that just not to be words on a page, but to be a living reality in our life. In every action, in every dealing we have, people that are standing around watching the situation take place, everyone's watching us. Everyone's seeing our take and our attitude on life. They're watching to see, what are you going to do? How are you going to react? And it just, we see so much of it now. As I said, there's no kindness anymore. There's no gentleness. There's no preferring one another anywhere in this world. And everyone's become such a push and shove type society. And it's so easy to think that I've worked hard and what I have is mine. I don't want nobody to take it, nobody touch it. It's all mine. And sometimes we forget that it's only the grace of God that we have anything that we have. And it's only His mercy and grace if we've got clothes to wear, a place to sleep, food to eat. And you know, we look around us, and it's easy sometimes to help those when you think there might be something in return. When somebody else may have a little better goods or might have something that, hey, if I go help them do this, they'll have this, they'll help me out in the long run. But what about the one that can't do anything or can't repay? Am I just as willing to go out of my way to help that one? Or maybe a brother that just seems to rub me a little bit of a wrong way, and maybe he's done something against me in the past, and I just can't quite forgive him with the love and the forgiveness that Christ had. Maybe I just won't turn loose of that little feeling of that one time he really got me, or she really got me, and I just won't turn loose of it, and won't love and put it in the past if it's been forgiven and put away, and to let it go and to move on and say, Lord, let me love my brother like all the other brothers, my sister like my other sister. Nothing between us as we begin to grow and as we come to this place in Christ, the full stature, the maturity, that each one of us we would be, as our prophet left us the writing, the little message to the church of how we should cling that much more closer together and love one another. Yes. Look at all we've been left that's laying there. And as we, every day circumstances are going to happen. Everyday life happens. And you know, we've seen it over the past. Some people, you know, would fall out over somebody saying something to one of their children, or their child said that, and just all kinds of things. Well, my wife said this about your wife, and just petty things. We've seen it happen, and I'm not saying that's happening here, but just look at all the little things that over the time, that people that claim to be Christ-like, people that came to be Christians, when it came down to the testing of their testimony, it failed and it didn't hold up. And that's where we've got to be warriors, strong and rugged, and our lives have got to be exactly not what this mouth is saying, but what is written that we should be in these last few moments of time, and how it's got to live out through us. We've seen it, saints. We've seen it fail. We've seen people that were supposed to be deacons in the church. We've seen them fail and fall so badly and then make it look like it was somebody else's fault. We've seen all of these things take place. But we've got to be a people that can rise above that and be true examples of what Jesus Christ said a people would be. And He's called someone to that, predestinated someone to that. And by God's grace, I want to find myself one of them that are right there in that harness, marching to the beat, that heavenly drum. Now let's turn over here to Colossians, the third chapter. Amen. I think we finished that. Colossians 3. Paul writing these different letters to these different churches and kind of saying along the same line, sometimes the same thing, but just listen as he puts it a little bit differently. But we'll start here at the first verse. Paul speaking, Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And just think, he heard Jesus speak the same thing we did. Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so just think of that when he's speaking there, Paul realizing and being able to see the manifestation of that in his own life. He could say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but it is Christ that liveth through me. Think about what all the things that Paul said. And we could go back, there's time and time to go back and read and even take and go back and exhort a lot of the things the prophet said to go with these scriptures. But just for Sunday evening service, to take the time just to renew our minds to these, and then you can go back and read what the prophet said. For ye are dead, and your life is His with Christ in God. And when Christ is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And we'll drop over here to the 12th verse, to skip a little bit. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And think about the messages our pastor just brought recently on love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, or as unto the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And oftentimes I wonder if we stop to think about that in the way we're treating, as Jesus even spoke and told us, as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I'll read that here. Brother Branham, he expounded just a little bit. And I thought this is in that day on Calvary, at Calvary. This was preached May 25th, 1960. Paragraph 83. And just listen as he goes on here, and we've got the little plaque hanging out here where he was talking about the Christ-like life is living for others. But listen, as Brother Branham puts it like this, he says, 83, look at that day on Calvary, what that day on Calvary did to you. It paid your price, and it settled the questions. Your sins be as scarlet, they are white as snow. Red like crimson, white like wool. And then you have no sin. You are perfectly sinless. No matter what you've done or what you do, you're still sinless. As long as you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. And anything is forgiven is remitted and forgot about. So think what he done for you. And think, oftentimes that's why we forget what he's done for us. And oftentimes we forget where we were and how we may have been. And what he made out of us. We didn't always was the peace-loving people that we are. We weren't always the peacemaker, so to speak. We weren't always the gentleness and the humbleness of mind. We weren't the most long-suffering people. But by God's grace and his mercy to us and the price that he paid for us, he's made a way that we could be conformed to the image of his dear son, and that this precious words would become us, living epistles. And through that, as he walked and virtue went out from him, as in Luke 6, as it was talking, he was walking in this. He began that sermon. The people were gathered around him because they just wanted to be near him. They just wanted to feel the virtue that was coming from him. And how that ought to be for all of us that has and holds the Holy Spirit in our life. That we've surrendered to him, that the virtue should be so overwhelming. Not you, not me, but the life of Jesus Christ on display to such a way that it would draw all people to him, not to you. And how that same life living and manifesting, what's caught the attention? They wasn't just the miracles, but they was the life that was coming and the words, the authority. They could see the Holy Spirit in action, living. And even though the apostles in the book of Acts, what was they? They weren't just seeing men, but they were seeing the actions, the working of the Holy Spirit coming from a life lived, bearing forth evidence that what they were preaching about had a truth and a reality to it. And oh, may we be a people that our lives is preaching the same thing. It's not just something we're talking about. You ought to join my church. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. But no, the reality of seeing, oh, I want the peace you have. I want the joy you have. I want the kindness and the humbleness you have, the long suffering. How do you deal with life, and how do you handle, and why don't you worry? Why aren't you fretting? Because my hope is in Jesus. Amen. And oh, but we want others to have the same. As he goes on, he says, that's what it does. It gives you, after that condition, his spirit to follow him, to do as he did. And for others who is following on, he was just one man, the perfect man, and he gave his life and made an example for you. Now what must we do? And the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you have an eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when he came in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day. You don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. Yes. And someone said, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? You don't live for yourself. You live for others, that you might redeem that man. You become sons. And the trouble of it is, the church has forgot they were sons. You're a son. You're taking Christ's place. You're a son, so you don't live for yourself. Live for others. Well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he's sure a nice man. That's not it. Live for the man who hates you. Live for that person who will kill you if they could. That's what they done to him. They killed him and he died that he might save him. That's eternal life. And that's in your bosom. You're facing heaven then. But when you sacrifice your own things and give them up like sheep gives up its wool, you look on towards Calvary. Think about that. As he was hanging on that cross, paying a price for those that put stripes on his back, pressed thorns on his head, paid a price for each and every one. And as he was going up there, my burdens also laid stripes on his back. Thus, he was paying a price for me that I could stand here today with his righteousness, with his glory. And to be able to stand here and know that it's not of myself, but it's what he has done for me. Yes. And how each one of us is, when you continue to see yourself in that light, it's pretty easy to overlook the faults of others. It's pretty easy to forgive and to say, Lord, help that brother. Help. What can I do to help them? What can I do to make their life a little easier? Yes. And you don't push sinners down and treat them, oh, they're just a sinner, they're just this. It doesn't work like that. There's a life living out through you that's pulling, and whatever you can do, anything you can say, I don't mean you have to join in with their filth. You don't join in with their corruption, but you be an example and a statue of a Christian in this day, and you watch them turn and come your direction. And oh, watch the life of Christ shine out to them. Amen. He says, no, bro, let me drop down here. I apologize. Hope, pray none of you ever have to get bifocals. Live for that man who hates you. Live for that person who would kill you. That's eternal life. And when that's in your bosom, you're facing heaven. But when you sacrifice your own things, give them up like sheep gives its wool, you look on towards Calvary. And I hope this helps you to get in a place. That's what the tabernacle, that's what all people has got to do, is find out what you are and what's the purpose. The church isn't going to church just to play music and sing songs. Church is a place where correction and judgment begins at the house of God. And we must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ. And then he made the way he could sacrifice ourselves to his service to follow him. But if we follow him, we will lead a life that he lived. That's wonderful. Jesus said and spoke of it. Let me just give you a few quotations on it. Listen close and don't miss it. Jesus said at that day he would separate people like sheep and the goats. And he would say to the goats, stand on the left side, and the sheep, stand on the right side. And he said to the goats, depart from me, because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison and you did not visit me. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was sick and you didn't visit me. He said, depart from me. And on the sheep he said, I was hungry and you fed me. And I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you ministered to me. And notice, don't fail to get this, church. Keep this in your heart forever. It was so unconsciously done. The people don't do it for a line of duty. A man that gives you something another because he ought to do it, a man that feeds you because he ought to do it, he's got a selfish idea. It should be your very life, your very action. It was so surprising to those sheep that they said, Lord, when were you hungry? And we wouldn't feed you. And when were you hungry and we fed you? When you were naked and we give you clothes? When were you thirsty and we give you drink? When were you sick and we ministered to you? It was so automatically out of love. Just your life lived in them, God. Let the people see what Calvary did for us so automatically. And when we were you, Lord, we never knew that. Look what Jesus turned and said. Insomuch as you've done unto these, you've did it unto me. An unselfish life, not the second thought, not to think about it, but you're so dead to the things of the world and so alive in Christ, so walking on the highway that these things are just an automatic thing. You just do it. Not saying, well, now, Lord, would you want me to do that? It's not that. You're just part of him, his spirit in you, and you act the way he acted. Oh, don't forget it. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And not all that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but they that do the will of my Father, just from their hearts, just freely. Amen. And think about that with what our pastor was bringing this morning. As we see the life of Jesus Christ and becoming prisoners, being led by the Spirit, every action declaring him, nothing out of line, none of ourselves, but shedding ourselves off and shedding off of this world. You know, if you get your affection set on things of this life, it's pretty easy to to quit being long-suffering. It's pretty easy to quit being brotherly kindness, showing up so much. It's pretty easy to quit being humble. And then, you know, that's the biggest thing. Everybody's striving for that next great thing in life, to be the next big thing, to be the great one, the best scientist or the best astronaut or the best airplane flyer. Everybody's got a passion and a desire to be something. And oh, as Christians, how whatever we're doing, even if we're just maybe digging in the mud or whatever we may be doing, whatever our job is, we should do it as if we were doing it unto the Lord. Everything we do should be, Lord, I want what I do to represent you. Every action, every move, everything I'm doing, not slothful in business, but fervent. Doing everything I can to bring a good reproach for the Lord, to show forth that is, you know, there was one place where Brother Branham even made that quotation. He said, if anyone will work, it's a Christian. Yes, and how we should see all of these things. We've got the message. We've heard all these things. But it's time for it not to just be things we've heard and things we can repeat, but to see it made real in our hearts and in our lives and bearing forth fruit as showing that that bride is coming to maturity, that all of this word that we've heard is fulfilling and taking place. But how we should, it's not just living for herself. What can I do tomorrow that I'm going to gain? Or what can I do for next week that's going to help me? But Lord, what can I do today to help you in whatever it is? What can I do for my brother? What can I do for my sister? What can I do for maybe a stranger I ain't even don't even know that I may meet tomorrow, that just one act that I could do would show forth your mercy and grace, show forth your greatness in some way that shows that, Lord, you're alive and living today. That's my prayer, saints, is that, you know, we can look back and see the life Jesus lived. We can look back and see the life the Apostle Paul lived. We see all that was done in the book of Acts. We see all that our prophet done and God done through his life and his surrenders to the Lord. And oh, but it's our turn. It's our turn to look down and not just, but to look into this precious word and see a mirror of ourselves and say, Lord, I'm matching that precious word. For your glory? No, for his glory. We are his workmanship, created to his praise and to his glory, and predestinated for his purpose after the counsel of his own will. And may we truly realize that we don't have a life in ourselves. We give it up for what he done for me. I owe him more than I can give him. But by God's grace, may we be willing to give our bodies back as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. May that ring out in our hearts. Don't let us get conformed or satisfied with what's down here. But keep our eyes looking heavenly, for it's almost in sight. Yes. Just getting so close, we see everything shaping up down here. But is my life shaping up matchingly, perfectly with what God said that he was coming back to get? That's where we want to make sure we're lined up 100%. Amen. If you would, let's turn over here to, let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Amen. You sisters can go ahead and come to the instruments if you will. Amen. Ephesians 4. And let's read here, start about the 17th verse. And this I say therefore, testifying in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness and to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if you so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. But let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And oh, if we could only just make sure we're being that forgiving one to another. Yes, making sure, you know, I pray each one of us continues to remember, even here amongst ourselves, the little illustration our pastor used a few months ago about the lady carrying the glass of water around the church. Sometimes if we just focus our attention to Jesus Christ a little greater, we wouldn't notice so much the faults of others around us. And we wouldn't be so judgmental. And we wouldn't be so critical of each and every move someone else is making. But if we would focus ourselves to God's precious word and to what the word means to me, and if I'm matching up 100%. And that's the reality of making sure that we're looking for and hastening to. That it's me, oh Lord. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. You know, and it's went down through time. And you can see different examples. People that's went to church for a long, long time. And oftentimes it seems like it's some of them older sisters that have been in church. Well, I remember they're, you know, just that little bit of a, seem like there's always looking at something going on, you know, and just pointing things out. And that's not happening. I'm just using that as an example. But just think about the attention of people, but how we should be so focused to Jesus Christ. Yes, and our own, Lord, what's for me? You know, it's because people get self-righteous. They come in the church door. They don't think they got any needs. The word's not going to help them any. So let me point it out to the one that needs it. But oh, may we come through that door every time being a people that's crying, Lord, it's me that's looking for that higher rung. Lord, it's me that came to get fed today. Lord, it's me that the word's coming to. If each one of us comes through that door with that desire and that challenge burden, you watch what God can do for each one of us here. Amen. You will not go out that door hungry. You won't go out that door feeling like you didn't get filled up. But you'll go out that door knowing you received your portion for that day. Amen. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. May that truly be the results of our life, saints. I pray that it'll mean a little more to us. And may we just continue to meditate on these things and realize each day, it's not about how much I can remember. It's not how much I can store up. We should study, we should pray, and we should read. But not just to gain knowledge, but let it change my life to a reality of what the word is saying that it would be. Yes. Amen. I believe it was here in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and the 14th to the 16th verse. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill and cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. And may that be the goal and the whole object of our life is, Lord, let me surrender to you so great that all that people can see in me is Jesus made manifest, and that the life that Jesus lived would be made manifest in this mortal body. Oh, may that be the desire of our hearts, saints. Just a few words of exhortation and just praying that you can take something from it. Amen. To feed on. And oh my, hold that precious message from this morning in your hearts and meditate on it this week. And if God should tarry and it be his will and our pastor gets an opportunity to go back, Lord, give me more of the reality of the word that was spoken and left for us. That, Lord, it would not just be words I heard, but I would be a doer of those things in which we've heard. Amen. Yes. Oh, he is so precious. Yes, love him. Is. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. He is so gracious to us. So appreciative. Yes. Let's just sing that little chorus. I've got so much to thank him for as our pastor comes. And I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for he has been so good to me. And when I think of all he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so
so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. He has been so good to me. Oh, hallelujah. Faith, all He's done, hallelujah. Me from, I've got so much to
I don't know how anybody couldn't have enough to thank Him for He's been so good to us. Amen. I'm sure everyone in here, He's been good to you, hadn't He? Amen. And just think, if He tarries another week, how much more He'll be good to us. Amen. To just bless us with life of a desire, a life to serving, a life to have a longing to know His word, to see it manifest in our lives. Oh, I'm so thankful for everything that He's done for us. Thankful for the word tonight. Amen. I just sit there again and just measure myself up with the word of God, just looking to see if there's any short places, making sure everything's the way God wants it to be. That's the way we should every time we pick up a message or a scriptures to read or listen to the prophet's messages. We should go in with the attitude, Lord, show me what I have need of. Not just sit there and read or sit there and listen, but to ask God for a greater understanding, a greater revelation, a greater desire to fulfill what He's given us to do. Amen. Well, we appreciate you. I pray God will bless your week now until Thursday night, if He should tarry that long. Bless your week, and may you be servants of the Lord God. Christ live through you. And may we all declare this nation, this people, that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You gave us this opportunity once more to be here this evening and, Lord, to be able to gather around the Word of God. And, Father, we just are living, and we can see we're living in those last moments of time. And, Father, how we can see that things are moving, and as we've said, Lord, a great momentum now. Lord, throughout the land, throughout the world, and Father, the events that You said would be fulfilled and what would take place before the rapture. Lord, we ask that You would help us to stay in tune now to that what's happening around us. That, Lord, we'll stay in tune with the Word and how it's to conform us to that place You want us to be in. Lord, we don't want to get behind any at all. Want to stay there, Lord, in the very front seat, ready, Lord, to be taken away any time. We pray that You'll help us now, and again, watch over us as we travel to our homes, and keep us safe as we make our journeys. And Father, may we just be completely yielded to You this week now, and just let You lead us and guide us in all truth and all righteousness. And Lord, Your glory be made fulfilled in our lives. We ask it again to Your glory and honor. Lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can all say what? Amen. Praise the Lord. May God bless you. You're all dismissed.